You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we look at where we came from, as far back into the past as we can look, and we also take a look at the future, as far into the distant future as we have it, as far as we're taught possible to look. If we look into the idea of LDS doctrine, we have this thought of pre-existence, which consists, to most people, of intelligences that were then born into spirit children and then were born into mortality, and from there after death are resurrected and ultimately acquire some kind of eternal glory, either telestial, terrestrial, or celestial. The thing that muddies the waters a little bit here is that if you take a look at the statements by Joseph Smith in his perhaps most famous presentation or sermon, the King Follett Discourse, that he gave just a few weeks before he died, he seems to talk about the soul of man being without beginning or end. It has always existed, just as God has always existed, and upon the same principle. And he uses the word spirit and intelligence and soul virtually interchangeably. And that muddies the waters a bit. In other words, I personally am unwilling to say much more than we believe we are eternal, just like God, and that we were, as far back as we know, intelligences. And from there, ultimately, we were born into this life. There are a few scriptures that actually seem to back up that point of view and don't have the detail that we often think of in terms of being begotten spirit children of our Father in heaven in the traditional sense. Let's take a look at those really quickly. Now, I'm not saying that the current doctrine is wrong. I'm just saying there's a little hesitation that I have there about exactly what it means to say that we were intelligences before this life, and exactly what it means to say that we were spirit children of our Father in heaven. Let's take a look at section 93, verse 36, where it says, "The glory of God is intelligence." That tells us that intelligence is very important. It's a primary characteristic of God and also of people. D&C 130, verses 18 and 19 tell us that whatever principle of intelligence we attain unto in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. And if we have more knowledge and intelligence through our own diligence and obedience than another, it will be to our advantage in the world to come. Moving on, we go to Abraham chapter 3, verse 18, where we read that if there are two spirits, pick any two. One will be more intelligent than the other. It also says that they have no beginning. They have always existed, and they will have no end. They are eternal spirits or intelligences. In other words, Abraham 3 and 18 doesn't differentiate between spirits and intelligences. Abraham 3:21 says, quote, "I, God, dwell in the midst of them all." And then he talks to Abraham and he says, "My wisdom excelleth them all, for I rule in the heavens above and the earth beneath. Over all the intelligences thine eyes have seen from the beginning." Well, these intelligences are people. So in Abraham 3:21, intelligences and spirits and humans seem to be the same thing. The last verse of, or the last part of verse 21 of Abraham 3 says this, I, God, came down in the beginning, in the midst of all the intelligences thou, Abraham, hast seen. And then moving on to verse 22, now the Lord God had shown unto me, Abraham, the intelligences that were organized before the world was, and among all these there were many of the noble and great ones. And God saw these souls, that they were good, and he stood in the midst of them and said, I will make them my rulers. And he stood among those that were spirits. So here, God is talking interchangeably in verse 23 about spirits and souls. And beforehand, and before that in verse 22, intelligences and spirits are the same. This is fascinating, and these are not just a discourse, the King followed discourse. These are actual LDS scripture that might give one pause a bit about how to interpret some of these things and to be a little bit cautious. What do we know about the pre-earth life? Very, very little. We talk about a war in heaven and about choosing to come here. We have some anecdotal evidence from those who have had near-death experiences who have, and I'm sure I've heard at least a dozen, probably more like two dozen, where people have seen children waiting to be born, or in some cases were shown a vision of themselves before they came to this earth waiting to be born, showing that there is a pre-earth life, and this evidence supplements the LDS point of view about it, which is significantly different from the point of view of, for example, Catholics who believe that we do not exist before conception, but once conception occurs, then existence has started. One of the precepts of the King Follett Discourse is that if something has a beginning, it could have an end, which is an interesting thought. As we move along in time, the ultimate end of human beings or their potential is different in various Christian denominations and in the Jewish faith. For example, if you take a look at the Protestant faiths, they believe that there is, and this is generally speaking, an unbridgeable gulf between God and man, which makes it impossible for us to fully comprehend him, and certainly impossible for us to become like him. However, the idea that we have in the Latter-day Saint faith, which is that our destiny can ultimately be like God, we may become like God, is something that is a bit more widespread than most people surmise or understand. The Eastern Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, all believe in deification, although it's not often taught. For example, in Catholicism, in Catholic Catechism Article 460, we read that, quote, God, the only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he made man might make men gods, close quote. That is a fascinating point of view. We also have the idea of divinization or deification in the LDS faith, where we have this short couplet made famous by Lorenzo Snow that says, as man is now, God once was, and as God is now, man may be. There's an idea that we read about in other places that we can ultimately become like God, but we often don't see it as such. And that's the Bible, the New Testament. When we come back, more about the whole idea of deification and the future of humankind, at least for those who are obedient. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. Do you want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this program or another program, or just a general religious question, feel free to send me an email to martinstanner@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond. If I don't know the answer to your question, I will search out an answer. When we took our break, we were talking about the idea that Catholics have the idea of deification as part of their official doctrine in Catholic Catechism 460. Father Jordan Vijada, who is a Catholic priest, completed his master's thesis in 1998 at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, put together a thesis that was entitled, quote, Partakers of the Divine Nature, a comparative analysis of patristic and Mormon doctrines of divinization, close quote. And in it, he concludes that the LDS theology is consistent with early Christian teachings on deification or divinization. Here's what this Catholic priest, Father Jordan Vijada, said. Quote, members of the LDS Church will discover that their fundamental belief about human salvation and potential is not unique or a Mormon invention. Latin Catholics and Protestants will learn of a doctrine that, while relatively foreign to their ears, is nevertheless part of the heritage of the undivided Catholic Church of the first millennium. Members of Eastern Orthodox and Eastern Catholic churches will discover on the American continent an amazing parallel to their own beliefs that salvation in Christ involves our becoming partakers of the divine nature, close quote. That is quite fascinating and sort of shoots down the whole notion in the LDS critic Ed Decker's Godmakers film, that somehow Latter-day Saints have this bizarre thing that's unique to them. It's not. And if Decker had done a little more research, he would have found out the actual truth. So as we go further on and take a look at some of the different ideas about the ultimate end of humans, we learn, if we see through an eye towards this concept, that is there from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, quote, "Now we will make humans, and they will be like us," close quote. Doesn't say they are now, they will be. In the day that that God created man, he created them in the likeness of God. That is fascinating because it tells us that if we are God's children, that we have the potential to become like God. After all, what offspring do not have the potential to become like the parent? The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, in the opening verses, "May you keep learning more and more about God and our Lord Jesus. God made us marvelous and great promises so that his nature would become part of us," close quote. That's the contemporary English version, translation of the Bible. And if we move forward, it says this, quote, "God's divine power has given us everything we know for a godly life through our knowledge of him. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature." That's the NIV translation, again, of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This whole notion is something that Paul and Peter both talk about often. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 tells us this. "Christ chose some of us to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, teachers, so that his people would," quote, "learn to serve and his body would grow strong. This will continue until we are united by our faith and our understanding of the sons of God." And listen to this, quote, "Then we will be mature just as Christ is, and we will be completely like him," close quote. Contemporary English version, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. That's an amazing quote. We will be exactly or completely like him, according to Paul. Here's what the King James Version says about the same verse. "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the sons of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ," close quote. In other words, until we become just like Christ is. The early Christians understood this well. Here are some quotes that you may not be so familiar with that have this same idea. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through 3, verse 10, ultimately says that at the second coming, beloved, we are God's children now, and we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Here are some more wonderful quotes from early Christian church fathers about the meaning of the New Testament. St. Clement of Alexandria, who was the bishop in Athens and lived from 150 to 251 AD in Alexandria, Egypt, said this, quote, "Those who have been perfected are given their reward. They have become pure in heart because of their closeness to the Lord, and therefore awaits them a restoration to eternal contemplation, and they will have received the title of gods, since they are destined to be enthroned with other gods who are ranked next below the Savior," close quote. Irenaeus, who was another early Christian church father, made similar comments. Irenaeus had this wonderful simple quote that I read to you now in Asia Minor in Turkey. Quote, "And how shall man pass to God unless God has passed into man? We were not made gods at our beginning, but first we were made men, and then in the end gods. Mortality swallowed up by immortality, corruptibility swallowed up in incorruptibility, man become conformed to the image and likeness of God," close quote. In another book, Against Heresies, he said a similar thing, quote, "How will any become a god if he has not first passed through the mortal life," close quote. There are a number of these. Origen, talking about Psalm 82, verse 1, said that there are many who are not God in and of themselves, but are deified by participation in God and by learning about God. The way he said it was this, quote, "For it is through his ministry that they became gods, since he drew divinity from God for them to be deified. His kindness and generosity is shared with people, his followers. God, then, is the true God, and those through him are fashioned into gods, are copies of the prototype," close quote. One last quote, which is this, quote, "From God there began a union of the divine with the human, and by communion with the divine, that we might rise to be divine, not in Jesus alone, but in all those who not only believe, but enter into the life which Jesus taught." Latter-day Saints believe in deification. So do the Orthodox Church members and the Catholic Church, although it's not widely taught. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.